If you got your Bibles, if you want to turn to Romans chapter 12, I'm going to look at verses 1 and 2, and then I'm going to kind of springboard from there. I'm going to take you to a bunch of scripture. Zena's got the scripture, so she's going to put them on the screen, so you ain't got to do as much as much flipping. but I will tell you, a few weeks ago, I knew Brother Keith and I were going out of town. I knew I was going to preach this Sunday, and I had planned to preach from the book of Genesis, and I've been there for the last 5 or 6 weeks doing a study with the teenagers, and I mean it's been a good study. I've gleaned a lot from it, learned a lot from it, and felt real comfortable there. It kind of goes along with our Sunday school lesson today. It's funny how God works, has a sense of humor, getting out of your comfort zone. But you know, I think more important than preaching something I feel comfortable preaching, I want to be where He wants me to be. That's more important to me, to hear His voice and go where He'd have me go. So that's what I did today, and I'll be honest with you again, I felt much more adequate preaching from that text in Genesis, but this is where I felt the Lord led me, and you know, I've learned a long time ago, the more I lean into Christ and let Him to use me, it's not about me anyway, the better off I am. So y'all pray for me today, and I'll tell you, I want to look at God's will for our lives. If I had to title this message, it would be, how can we be in the will of God and know it? How can we be in the will of God and know it? And listen, if I was going to be preaching the next 4 or 5 weeks, I'd break this down, but I'm going to give you a rough overview today, all right, and just try to make some application. And I'll tell you what kind of got me, my mind running here is, you know, and I've, y'all know Blue, the firefighter who passed. I did his funeral, young man, and I've been having quite a bit of dialogue with his mama, who's having just an awful time, rough time. Emotionally, I couldn't imagine, to be honest with you. I think sometimes we're quick to criticize in those situations. So you know what, you got to pick your feet up, you got to keep moving, but we don't know what she's going through as a mom. I couldn't imagine the pain that she's endured and the suffering that's taking place. Good news is he was a believer. We can see him again one day. But that kind of springboard of this message, you know, God's will for our life. Why do things happen? What is God's will for our life? How can we know we're in God's will? What does it look like when we get outside the will of God in our life? Does He give us signs? Does He rebuke us? How do we get back inside the will of God, get in His wheelhouse, you might say? So that's kind of where I want to go today and what I want you to see, hopefully, by the time I'm done. Again, I'm going to take you to a lot of Scripture, and I'm going to try to back all this up with Scripture, but here's, you might say, some myths that I thought about. Ever since I was young, at an early age, Zena helped me get through geometry, but I was pretty smart in school, all right? She'd give me a hard time. She might disagree. But I had to write. I take notes, always have. I got hundreds of pages of notes when I read the Bible. It just helps me learn that way. But I think these are some myths as far as regarding God's will. There ain't no way to figure out the will of God. There's a lot of people who I believe That's the way they believe. There's no way we can figure out God's will. I'd say you're wrong. That ain't true. God lays it out for us in His Word clearly, I believe. Second myth is this: if it's fun and enjoyable, it can't be God's will. I disagree. God likes us to have fun. He likes us to enjoy our things that He's blessed us with. So I'm going to disagree with that as well. Third one is this: if it's difficult or painful, it can't be God's will. Suffering can't take place in the life of a Christian, right? That's false too, all right? Sometimes God's will for our life, it's tough waters to tread, all right? That's the world we live in, because the Bible says that God called us out of the darkness and into the light. We're in the world, the Bible says, but we're not of the world. And lastly, if we ain't sure of God's will, we just need to wait around and do nothing. I believe some people are doing that, waiting around and doing nothing. But here's what I believe the disciples did. I don't think they were always real certain of where God was leading them, what God's will for their life was, but I can tell you this, they were busy about the work of God. They were busy about the kingdom work. They were kingdom-minded. So I think sometimes when maybe we say, you know what, I don't know what God's will is for me. You know what, I've asked Him, I've prayed where He'd have me go, what He'd want me to do. And you know what, He's not revealing that to me, but I want to tell you today, I think it's okay to be still and listen, but don't quit. All right, keep pursuing Him and get busy about the work of God. So again, how can we be in the will of God and know it? Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. And I'll tell you this first, before I read this text. I'm going to be reading from the King James Version, so you can put them on the screen. Unbelievers can't be in the will of God. I'll just say that from the onset. If you're an unbeliever, you can't be in the will of God. You don't know the will of God. God hadn't revealed himself to you through his word. And to get to salvation in Christ, it requires a response. Yes or no, it's as simple as that. There's no middle ground. And through that, he wants to radically transform your life. He's radically transformed my life from the inside out. Do I got it all together? I certainly don't, but I'm a lot better than I used to be. So chapter 12 of Romans, verses 1 and 2, they say this: I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, kind of, there's three things I want you to glean from verse 1 there, that first verse there. And it's this: our sacrifice, I believe, is reasonable in light of all God's mercies. Ain't you thankful for new mercies each and every day? When we blow it, we got new mercies every single day. Second is this: our sacrifice is spiritual. And I don't mean this in the sense of the offering of an animal. That's not what I mean, but of ourselves in spiritual service. That's what I mean. That's the sacrifice we got to make, our spiritual service, serving others. The Bible said that Jesus came to serve. He didn't come to be served. So when we yield ourselves to him, spiritually speaking, and we get busy in the business of serving others. So that's where it's spiritual. And lastly, I believe it's intelligent. Complete awareness of God's goodness to him. I don't know about you, but sometimes it's real easy to complain. We find ourselves in those seasons of our life where everything seems to be unraveling, going going bad for us. But listen, we all got so much to be thankful for. We serve a good God. That second verse, verse 2, turning your back on the world and having your mind renewed daily by God. That's what it says. And this enables you to discern and experience God's will. We ain't who we used to be, are we? I'll tell you this about God's will. His will is different than our will. It looks different than our will. Our will is not perfect. His will is perfect. Why? Because he is perfect, and there ain't nothing about us perfect. I say it all the time, but the only thing good about me is Jesus who lives in me. I know who I am outside of Christ. So our will don't always align with his will. I think as we're sanctified, as Christ works in our life, that becomes a little more clear to us over time. I can tell you this about God's will. His will is good. It has no flaws. It has no missing pieces. His will is complete. All right? His will is complete. I want you to remember this when you're talking about the will of God. Not our will, not our plans, and not even our goals, as clear as they may seem sometimes. If you'd asked me 15, 18 years ago what I'd be doing, matter of fact, if you'd asked me when I was Zace's age, Zace tells us all the time, we can ask him 150 times, and he's going to be a baseball player and a preacher. He's going to be a professional. I don't know how he's going to do that, right? But he's going to be a professional baseball player, and he's going to preach. That's what Zace thinks he's going to do one day. And I'm not here to tell you Zace can't do that one day. We'll help him any way we can with his dreams. But we all are kids. We have these dreams. We have these aspirations. But I can tell you this, what I'm doing now, I wouldn't trade for any job in the world, any amount of money in the world. This is where I want to be. This is what I want to do because I'm honoring and glorifying Christ, and I believe that's what he's called us to do. So his will might look a little differently than yours. I want you to see this day, and I'm fixing to take you to this text. Not even Jesus followed his own plans, right? Not even Jesus followed his own plans. He followed the plans of God, didn't he? He was at the center of God's will. Mark 14:36. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me, nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. All right, so what does that talk about? If you look up Abba, that's that personal intimacy that we talk about. But this is Jesus' submission to the Father's will. And I believe that's a model for you and I. If Jesus submits to the Father and his will, we ought to do the same thing. That's what the Bible instructs us to do, and I believe that's a model for us. Understand, in this moment, he was fixing to experience the wrath of God against him. He was fitting to have the wrath of God poured out on him. John 6:38. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. The will of the Father was that Jesus be the Savior of the world. That was the will of the Father. I told you, there was a point in time in my life where I thought I had it all figured out. And what that was Chris's will. I had it all together. I knew exactly what I was going to do, where I was going, where I was going to live, my dreams, my aspirations in front of me. I knew all these things. I thought I had it together. But again, God's will was different than my will. His will was different than our will. And again, that's because His ways are perfect. And I'll even tell you this. I think sometimes the will of God is hard to be sure of. I tell young people, I think when you make that transition from high school to college, sometimes that is probably the toughest age there is to me, because you're trying to find your identity, you're trying to find where you fit, where you are, what you want to do, and the world tells us we got to have it all figured out. We don't. The best thing you guys can do is stay inside the will of God. Let Him lead you and let Him guide you. Hebrews 10, verse 36. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. What's that say? It says this: those who remain faithful receive a great reward. Patient endurance is what is needed in the face of persecution. When you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Listen, I think there's sometimes, and we all like to see those tangible results right here, right now. We like to see that reward here and now. But listen to me, all of us, when we stay inside the will of God, when we're serving Him, when we're living for Him, we're laying up heavenly treasures, heavenly rewards. We might not see them on this side, but we're laying them up in heaven, all right? So I'm going to tell you this, even when you do right and obey Christ in your life, His will always won't be easy and it won't be straightforward, even when we're serving Him, even when we're living for Him to our very best ability. But I can tell you this, it's much better to do God's will than it is yours or mine. But I will tell you this, it's harder. It's a lot harder, right? Much harder. I'm going to give you three illustrations, three examples I thought about. It's hard to walk away from your girlfriend or your dreams, that lady from your dreams. It might be that man of your dreams, all right? But one who won't follow Christ with you, right? Second thing, leaving a career making loads of money to answer a call in ministry to serve Christ, all right? Third example, walking away from your friends because they are pulling you away from Christ. I would say all those are hard things to do, but that's the will of God, right? The perfect will of God is best. Psalm 18:30. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. There's nothing better than being right in the center of God's will, in His wheelhouse. We had a hurricane come through the other day. Well, Idalia, am I saying that right? Was it Hurricane Idalia? I remember, and it's pretty cool for most of you kept up with it. Most of you teachers got a day out of school, so y'all were thrilled. A lot of people got a day off work, right? We had to come out to Brother Keith's because Sarah was scared to death a pine tree was going to fall on our house. Between her and Zace and their anxiety, we even brought the dog. And we loaded up and we went to Brother Keith's. And here's what I want you to see, though. There's nothing better than being at the center of God's will. The eye of that storm a day, it moved over us. Moved right over us. And I tell you, it was pretty calm, in fact, because Sarah fussed at me. I was ready to go home. Right? I was ready to go to my house. And I said, all right, I'm ready to go. She didn't want to. Well, and her dad, hey, the backside of the storm's coming. We in the eye, and it was calm. I'm like, nah, we good. Let's go home. And we got home, and them pine trees started swaying because the backside of that storm come through. We were out of the eye wall. But listen to me. That's in the eye wall, when we're in the center of God's will, that's where we want to be. When we're anywhere else, it's a disaster, right? It's a disaster. That's just a way to illustrate it for you. He always knows best. I know we don't think that. I didn't think my mom and daddy knew a whole lot when I was a teenager, and you teenagers probably don't think your mom and daddy know a whole lot. I see Jackson shaking his head. But listen to me. He knows the best way for you to raise your family, and that's in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He tells us that in His Word. He knows the best way for you to support your family. Sometimes, you know what, you might have to give up a career. I said it earlier, but making a bunch of money. But listen, if it isn't ethical, if it isn't morally right, if it isn't biblically grounded, you might not need to be doing that, had you. You need to find yourself in the center of His will. Why is God's will better than our own? Because He knows everything. He's omniscient. Right? That's what that means. He's all-knowing. He knows everything. He knows what you've been through. He knows what you're going to. He knows what you're capable of. He knows what lies ahead of you because His will and His ways are perfect. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust Him. You've heard this verse. One of probably some of the first verses you taught your kids. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. Acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. All right? Good verse of scriptures to quote to memory. But trust Him, all right? And I believe this about the will of God. It can be found. It can be fulfilled in your life. Psalm 40, verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God, yeah, thy law is within my heart. And if you got your Bibles, this is going to be my key text today. Let's flip over to 1 Peter 2, verses 11 through 24. I'm going to read this. First Peter 2, verse 11 says, Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they shall behold glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently. But if when ye do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto where you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on that tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. By those stripes you are healed. I'm going to just kind of break this down as best I can, and hopefully it'll make sense. But I think the first thing we can glean about the will of God right there from that text is I believe he desires for all men to be saved. You can actually back up to 1 Peter 2, chapter 2, verses 8 through 10 there. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which have obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So I think we can say from that I believe his desire is that all people are saved. I have no doubt that that's his desire. He wants everybody to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus. Now I will tell you this, it's clear from the text that that's not what's going to happen. Not everybody's going to bow and make Jesus Lord of their life. But that's what his desire is. He wants to see all men saved. But unfortunately, that's not going to be the case. And I can tell you this, the destination for any who, and Keith says all the time, our default destination is hell. But any who don't trust in Christ, that is where you will end up, eternal damnation. And that's clear from the text. Secondly, I believe he wants his people to be sanctified. I think you can see that from the text. You can look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Sanctification, we talk about that a lot. Justified, sanctified, glorified, right? We talk about that. I think sanctification takes place our whole life. In other words, we're becoming more like Christ each and every day of our lives. He's molding us and making us who he wants us to be. That means we separate ourselves from sin and evil so that we can be holy and clean objects in his hands. And I think this involves every Christ follower. We gotta come away from all these activities and influences that hinder us from being who he's called us to be, from serving him. And Taking this a little further, I believe it's God's will that we do regular spiritual cleaning in our homes. I think men, I think daddies, we got to do that. You hear a lot of times, folks will call me, hey, I need a spring clean. I need my yard cleaned up. You know what? It's gotten out of hand over these winter months, these fall months. Got leaves, pine straw, pine cones everywhere. I need you to clean it up, all right? I think we need to be cleaning up our homes regularly, spiritually speaking, all right? As leaders, as men in our homes, we need to be doing that on a regular basis. Third thing. For his people to be subject and submissive. Ephesians 6, verses 5 through 8. I done skipped some verses on Zena and messed her up. There they are. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Submitting to all the laws of the land. I think that's what we can see there. Listen, it's God's will for you to have a servant's heart. I think sometimes, even in the context of the church, we sit back and we just want to be served. God's will is for us to serve others. And I'll tell you this, you kids here today, God, His Word tells you to honor your mother and your father. Honor those in authority over you, whether they are even necessarily leading as God called them to lead. I think you can go to Romans 13, you can read it for yourself, and I think there is a time in our country, in our society, as the church, that we got to stand out, we got to speak out against those people who are coming against Christ, coming against His Word. But unless they are doing that, we got an obligation to follow their lead, to be respectful of them. The best thing we can do, oftentimes we criticize those people. Why don't we try praying for those people? Next, for His people to be soul winners. And that's just an active ambassador for the Lord. You can go to Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. I'm not going to read it. She's going to put it up there. Listen, it isn't just my job to try to win souls for Christ, to be an ambassador for Christ. It's your job too. Every one of us, wherever you go each and every day, work, school, ball field, we have a mission field each and every day. Listen, there are a lot of lost people in this world. You don't have to look very far around you very long to see that there's a lot of people lost and undone, that they need a relationship with Christ. I tell you this, I believe the will of God can be missed. And I want you, if you don't hear nothing I say today, I want you to understand this. You cannot make peace with sin and be in the will of God. You cannot make peace with sin and be in the will of God. Listen, I had a guy tell me the other day. He went through a divorce, all right? He was unfaithful to his wife, and he told me that was God's will for his life. Sorry, it ain't. That ain't God's will for your life, all right? When you're living in sin, you can't be walking in the will of God in your life. It can't happen. You can't make peace with sin. You got to repent of it. You got to repent of your sin before you can be inside the will of God. I'm going to give you another few examples of how I believe we can miss God's will. We become self-centered. Easy to do, isn't it? I'm guilty. I raise my hand. Sometimes it's all about Chris, all right? We can all get in those places, get in those funks where it's all about me. We become selfish. We become self-centered. It ought to be all about Christ. Another thing I believe keeps us from being in the will of God, why we miss it, I believe we neglect to pray and seek God and His Word. All right? Listen, you cannot be sanctified. Christ cannot be at work in your life if you're not reading your Bible, if you're not praying, if you're not seeking His will and His purpose for your life. You cannot. It's all about relationship, personal relationship, one-on-one, and that's where that communion comes from, that fellowship comes from. You and Christ, there's nothing more important. I tell you this, when we're at war with other Christians in the context of the church, you can't be sanctified. You can't be in the will of God. Sometimes, hey, maybe here today, maybe God gave me this message for somebody. Maybe there's a relationship that needs to be restored, all right? Reconciliation needs to take place. All right, listen, the last thing we need to do inside the context of the church is be fighting with one another. You ain't in the will of God, all right? We can't be fighting with one another. I don't think a lot of that goes on here. We're blessed, all right? But if it does, we need to make it right. Next thing. I think sometimes we try to blend in with the world, don't we? Easy to do. But when we blend in with the world, you cannot be in the will of God. I am thankful for this. I do know this in my life. There's times, and I think, listen, this is normal. I think every one of us sometimes in our life, I don't care how spiritual you may be, sometimes we all, it's easy to get outside the will of God. All of us. Getting pulled and tugged from 100 different directions. It's good versus evil. There's a spiritual battle that's taking place. But ain't you glad, I know I am, that he humbles us. He gets me back on the right track. Sometimes it's by means of rebuking me. Sometimes it's by means of knocking my feet out from under me. But I'm glad he gets my attention because he loves me that much. And I'll tell you this. If you're following Christ, I'll say this. I believe you are in the will of God. All right? You're right in his wheelhouse. I tell you this, maybe you're at a place in your life where you find it difficult to follow Christ the way that he desires you follow him, the way that you know you need to follow him, and that you find it difficult to pray. You might find it difficult to study. And you know what? Maybe you need to lay some things at his feet. Maybe you need to repent of some things in your life and leave some things at the altar this morning so you can get back in the center of his will. Understand this about Jesus. His priority was to do the will of God. You can go back to the Garden of Gethsemane, and we read the verse of Scripture earlier. Not my will be done. He said, if there's any other way, let this cup pass. But then he went on to say, not my will be done, but thy will be done. He submitted to the Father's will. All right? And that's what we got to do each and every day is submit to the Father's will. Got to submit to the Father's will. All right, I'm going to run through these quick, all right? I promise. You're probably thinking, man, you're going to keep us longer than Brother Keith. I'm not. But I got some things now I want to try to make some application, and maybe you can see what this looks like. I got seven signs here, all right, just from studying some things that stood out to me that I believe you aren't in the will of God. When you lack fruit in your life, okay, when you lack fruit in your life, what do I mean by that? The Bible says you can judge a tree by the fruit it bears. The Bible says that we all bear fruit. We bear good fruit or we bear bad fruit, all right? But we all, nonetheless, we bear fruit. So are you bearing good fruit? Right now, you might be in a season in your life where you're not bearing any fruit, all right? You can't be in the will of God if you're not bearing good fruit, all right? Second thing, broken relationships. Relationships are all we got here on this earth, all right? They're the best things that we have. The body of Christ, there's nothing like relationships with our family and the body of Christ. If you got broken relationships, I can most certainly tell you, you probably aren't in the will of God. If you're unteachable and unwilling to change, right, you've grown cold and indifferent, maybe you're spiritually apathetic, you can't be in the will of God. We got to be teachable, all right? We don't know it all. I don't know it all. You don't know it all. We got to be willing to change. We got to be teachable. Maybe you feel burnt out and tired. Sometimes you just might need to be refreshed. You might need to be revived, all right? God can do that for you this morning. Maybe you've got some failed plans in your life. Here's how I like to look at failed plans. Listen, we've all, if we're honest with each other, we've all had failed plans. We've all had things that didn't work out exactly like we had seen them working out, like we had wanted and hoped for them to work out. But I have learned this in my life. I'm thankful sometimes for failed plans in my life because God was just protecting me and he had something better in store for me, and he does you as well. Next thing, feeling ashamed. Listen, guilt and shame is a work of the enemy. We have freedom in Christ. The Bible says you're free indeed. So don't let him load you down with shame. Don't let him load you down with guilt. Don't give the enemy that foothold in your life. Next thing, number seven. See, I told you I was going to go quick. Not actively seeking him. All right, listen, this is probably for me, this sticks out the most. I'm telling you, I tell people this all the time, but preaching for me, ministry for me, being prepared on Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Sundays, and a lot of times in between FCA functions and such and different things I get to speak at, it keeps me accountable and it keeps me studying, all right? I don't know if sometimes it does any good for you. I hope it does, all right? But it does me a lot of good because it keeps me grounded and where I need to be. But we got to actively seek him. I know those moments in my life when I get busy, when I get overwhelmed, when I neglect him, when I'm not actively seeking him, it's easy for me to get outside the will of God, all right? So we got to actively seek him. Now I'm going to give you five signs you're right in his wheelhouse, right? You're right in his wheelhouse. You will not always choose the easiest path, all right? It's easy to take the easy path. The easy path, because you know what? It doesn't require any work, all right? But listen to me. Following Christ was never intended to be easy. It never was intended to be easy. I will never tell you that. I tell our teenagers all the time that give their life to Christ, this is where the battle begins, right here, right now. You're stepping into a spiritual battlefield. That's when the enemy's going to come. When you're living outside the will of God, when you're an unbeliever, the enemy's got you where he wants you. He ain't got much work to do. But when you give your life to Christ, from that moment, the devil's engaged because he wants you. He wants to pull you away from Christ. When he pulls you away from Christ, you can't be who God's called you to be. You can't be at the center of his will. You can't fulfill your purpose and plan for his life, his plan for your life. Secondly, you ain't going to be perfect. I'm not and you're not, but you're going to be progressively moving forward in spiritual maturity. You got to be moving forward. And listen, we all get those places sometimes. Sometimes I feel like I take one step forward and two steps back. One step forward and two steps back. All right, and that's the life of a Christian, but we got to keep persevering. We got to keep on keeping on. Some of my best learning lessons, spiritually speaking, are from stupid junk I've done and mistakes I've made and things I've said that were ungodly. They weren't from God. They were from the enemy. But those have been my best learning lessons. You got to be teachable. We got to be moving forward, being sanctified. Thirdly, you will start to think and look differently from the world around you. That kind of goes along the lines of bearing that good fruit. Listen, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. He's called us out of the darkness and into the light. As Bible-believing Christians, we ought to look different. I tell you, I could preach here for 45 minutes because people get on my nerves that come to this church every Sunday. Not this church, okay, I'm just saying the church, the body of Christ, that profess it, can put on their Sunday best, they can put on their khakis and look good. But listen, He don't call us to be the church just on Sundays. He calls us to live that way each and every day of our lives, to flesh it out. That's who he's called us to be. And I'm afraid, Keith preached in the book of Revelations. He says this, you know what, it's better to be hot or cold. Lukewarm, what's he say about it? He says he'll spit you out. That's what he says. And I'm afraid there's a lot of lukewarm Christians that are a hindrance to those unbelievers in this world. And that's what that means. Fourthly, you intentionally make it your goal to follow Christ every single day. Listen, it's a decision, and it's a conscious decision you got to make every day. One of the best things I've done is a devotional every morning. All right? 90% of the time I do my devotional. All right? And I'm not telling you that tooting my horn, but I know how much I need that devotional. I know how much I need it. I know how important prayer is in my life. And it's amazing. Sometimes one of the coolest things about prayer for me is there's times I don't know what to pray. I don't know how to fix a situation. I don't even know how to pray. But the Bible says this, that the Holy Spirit makes utterances on our behalf. All right? All you got to do is go to him in prayer, bow in his presence, and he'll go to work. You got to intentionally every day choose to follow Christ. Fifth thing, the promises on the pages of Scripture will start manifesting in your life. I believe that. I've seen it. They'll start manifesting, they'll start coming to fruition in your life. I'm going to close with this. I'm going to give you some ways that I think you can stay in his wheelhouse, right? That you can stay there. I think these are important. Zena, you don't have to put these up there. I wrote these down. But first is this, don't think so highly of yourself. Don't think you're better than you really are. That's Romans 12:3. That's a proud heart. People ain't going to follow anybody with a proud heart. And here's the reality of it is, men have a tough time with pride. We all do. You can disagree, but I'm telling you, we all have a tough time with pride sometimes. Don't think better than you are. Don't think more highly of yourself. Use your gifts by faith. God's given each one of us gifts. You can read Romans 12:6 and it'll tell you that. Find your place where you fit in God's house and serve. Don't just fill a pew, actively serve, okay? Actively serve. Find somewhere and serve. There's so many people at this church that blow my mind. I mean, I talk to youth pastors all the time. I have youth pastor friends and friends in ministry that are blown away by the help I have. They are begging for people to come alongside them and help them. I'll be honest, we've grown so much now. I actually worked hard this past Tuesday. I come and broke down tables by myself, and all I had to do was heat up the meat. Now, it wasn't that hard. But what I'm saying is this, I'm thankful for Gonzo that he cooks. Well, he's feeding 60 head of kids, and they'd probably be getting pizza rolls if it's me and Sarah. They eating good, all right? But I'm thankful there's a lot of men in here in this church. Gonzo, he don't even like when I do that. All right? He don't like me to pat him on the back. He doesn't do it for any accolades. Barry and Felicia and Hunter and Amber, and there's just so many people here that help us and make our job in ministry so much easier, and I'm grateful for them. They found their place. They serve. And Ralph's always one of the ones in the kitchen taking out the trash. I remember when I met Ralph when he was visiting here. I think it was a New Year's Eve feast, and they had left a trash can of, it was full of oysters, stunk, whoo, Lord. And we got it over there, and I was thinking, man, I can't lift that thing. Ralph's like, I got it. Just manhandled it. And I'm like, yep. He's on the security team. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. That's Romans 12:9. We got to quit making excuses for sin, all right? Love the sin or hate the sin. We got to call sin what it is, all right? We got to call sin what it is. Be fervent in prayer. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Romans 12:12. Don't give up. Keep praying. All right? Keep praying. Don't quit praying. There's times I'm telling you, I've prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and I'm like, man, I don't know where you lead me. I don't know what's going on. And there's times things don't make sense. So we got to get out of our comfort zone, but just trust Christ. All right? Give to others. Share with those who are in need. Romans 12:13. I believe you will never look more like Christ than when you're serving and meeting the needs of others. Never look more like Christ than when you're serving and meeting the needs of others. Got three more and I'm done, all right? Hang with me, all right? Behave honorably. Behave honorably. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. That's Romans 12:17. You can go read Romans 12 and about everything taught in there. That's what it talks about, is how to behave honorably. Exercising humility, showing others kindness, respect, empathy, encouragement, not lashing out at others. There's a list of things that it talks about there. And listen to me. Sometimes people are going to lash out at us. Sometimes people are going to treat us unfairly. But here's the deal. We can still do the right thing. We can still take the high road. We can't control what they do, but we can still do the right thing, and God will honor us for doing the right things. And some of those that I just named, kindness, humility, man, those things go a long way. Those are fruits of the Spirit being manifested in your life. Be at peace with everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Romans 12:18. Again, you can't choose how others treat you, but you can certainly choose how you respond to others in the way that they treat you. And lastly, overcome evil with good. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Romans 12:21. Can I tell you that there's freedom in doing what's right? Being a man of integrity, being upright, being blameless, being who God's called you to be. And listen, if you're in the center of God's will, that's the safest, most secure, most prosperous place that you can ever be. And listen, I told you, I really wanted to preach hard on sin today. In Genesis, I've been hitting it hard with the teenagers, all right? But I really felt God led me here. And I don't believe God led me here by chance. I don't. But I think it's very important. That ought to be desire of every one of our hearts, is to be inside the will of God, following His will and His plan for our life. And you might not know what, sometimes we don't always know exactly what that looks like, but I'm telling you, I've gave you a bunch of scripture today that you can go back and read and ponder and chew on. He lays it out there for us. Listen, the only reason I believe He's still tarrying His return is for us to exalt Him, to bring Him honor and glory, and to tell others about Him. We're ambassadors for Christ. And listen, there's people I know that will never preach, they'll never pray out loud, they will never be probably real vocal in their walk in faith, but there are people that if you watch their lives, they don't have to say anything. The fruit is being manifested in their lives by the way they treat others, by the way they walk, by the way that they talk, by the way that they serve, by the way that they treat others, all right? And again, I'm going to say this before I close in prayer. If you musicians want to come on, I'll be happy to pray with you today, whether you're an adult, teenager, kid, whoever. But listen to me, if you found yourself right now in this season of your life where you're walking outside the will of God, whether it be sin, whether it be sickness, health's failing you, I don't know what's going on in your life, what that looks like. But listen, there's nothing more important this morning than getting back in the will of God. I'm telling you, it's the safest, most secure place that you can be. If you want to be all God's called you to be, we got to walk inside the will of God. You got to lay sin aside. We got to turn to Jesus, all right? I'm going to pray. If y'all will stand. Lord, thank you for this day, God. Thank you for your word, God. Your word teaches us, God, that your word doesn't return void, God, that it isn't in vain, God, that it sets forth and it accomplishes exactly what it's supposed to, God. I don't know why you led me here today, God, but I always want to be receptive to what you put on my heart, God, where you lead me, God. And I always want it to be about you, God, and I pray that you were high and lifted up and exalted today, God. I pray that you'd help us to all walk in your will, God, to stay at the center of your will for our life, God. There's times we're all going to get outside the will of your life, God, but thankful for that anchor that holds, God, that you draw us back in, God. And I pray, God, for the one here today, God, who's just gotten off track, God, and God, like the prodigal son, God. Maybe they just need to come back home, God, reclaim them, God. Maybe there's one here today, God, who's just, maybe they're spiritually dead. Maybe they're struggling. Maybe they don't feel it. They hadn't felt your presence in some time, God. I pray that today, God, that your presence would be very real in their life, God. I pray that you'd revive them, God. May you give them a renewed zeal, God, about you and your word, God. I pray for those who are sick today, who are just going through tough times, God. Maybe, again, there's one here that needs to make amends with someone, God, needs to restore relationship. Reconciliation needs to take place, God. I pray that you do that these next few minutes, God. Lord God, if there's sin in our life, God, we cannot be at the center of your will, God. So I pray we would lay it at your feet, God, repent of our sin here today, God. Do whatever you want to do these next few minutes, God. If there's one here that's lost and undone, I pray that you'd save them. Your word says that now is the time of salvation, God. We'll give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory for everything that's said and everything that's done. And we ask all this in Jesus' name and amen.